That is beautiful. Sometimes I think I really don't need to do too much between the announcements today and the invocation, the sacred readings, and the music. You know, all I need to do is get up and tell a joke and we can go to the meeting. I want to return to that sacred reading though. The whole purpose of the science of mind is to reconcile the apparent separation of the spiritual world, which must be perfect, with the material world, which appears imperfect. The spiritual world is the cause of the material. We are spiritual beings governed by a mental law. Man's experience is the logical outcome of his inner vision. His horizon is limited to the confines of his own consciousness. That is a powerful statement. Our theme for the month of March is spiritual growth. And the title of my talk today is Reachable and Teachable. I have 3 points. I'm going to talk about reachable, and I'll talk about teachable, and then I'm going to talk about how the world changes as we grow. First of all, reachable. In order to truly open ourselves to something new, and thus something greater than we have ever known, we must be reachable. It is easy to sit where we are and to keep cranking out the same old beliefs, the same old ideas, the same old thoughts, and producing the same old life over and over. That is the victim consciousness. Yesterday in the centering prayer and the discussion afterward, we talked about that. It's life is happening to me. Look what's happening to me. And with this philosophy, we're given the opportunity to take a step beyond that and realize that our thoughts can be changed. Change your thinking, change your life. We are always in a process of evolving and changing. Elizabeth Appel once wrote, "The day came when the risk to remain tight in the bud was more painful than the risk it took to bloom." The day came when the risk to remain tight in the bud became more painful than the risk it took to bloom. And that's where we find ourselves. We find ourselves in that tight bud. And sometimes it can be pretty painful when we're staying in that one place. But we can change. We can bloom. Second point, teachable. We talked about treatment. And I will never forget the first time that I heard the term spiritual mind treatment. We were down on A Street. And I was so thankful that I was in my usual place, which is in the furthest row in the back, right on the aisle, with 1 foot ready to go so I could take off. You know, the last note hadn't finished from the last song before I was out of there. But they started talking about this spiritual mind treatment. I didn't know if that involved some sort of edible mushrooms, whether I was going to have electrodes on my head. All I knew is I didn't want anything to do with this spiritual mind treatment. I know that. But when I learned that it was just a different term for an affirmative prayer, I was able to move from reachable, I was reachable because I was there physically in that room, to teachable, in that one of the concerns I always had growing up, and I grew up Methodist, and well, we were, you know, oh, you go pray, and but I never knew how to pray. I didn't know. I had the three B's, you know, begging, borrowing, and beseeching. You know, I was really good. Oh God, please do this for me. You know, oh, if you'll only get me out of this mess, God, I won't ever do that again. I beseech thee. And in this teaching, we were given a structure. We were given a way that logically made sense and a way to approach something that was greater than ourselves, and whatever, however you refer to your higher power, but in a way that we could approach our higher power and have a confidence that we were going to be rewarded, that something was going to happen as the result of of our activity. And that was a powerful, powerful revelation. And it's simply because I was able to be reachable and teachable. Example of this, the story of three men who were on one of those long cross-country treks. And they came through the woods, and there's a huge roaring river in front of them. And they didn't know how they were going to get across this giant, you know, fast-flowing river. And so the first guy turned to prayer. And he just said, Heavenly Father, give me the strength to get across this river. And immediately, boom, he had big, strong arms. He had big, strong legs. He jumped in the river, and it took him 2 hours, but he swam across the river. Well, the second guy watched all this, and he thought for a while, and he said, Heavenly Father, give me the strength and the tools to get across this river. And he got big, strong arms, big, strong legs, and a boat. And it took him about half an hour, and he rowed across the strait. Well, the third guy, he watched that, and he thought about it a little bit, and he said, Heavenly Father, give me the strength, the tools, and the intelligence to get across this river. And with that, poof, he became a woman. And she looked down at her map and walked 100 yards upstream and walked across the river. See, she was reachable and teachable. The third point is the world changes as we grow. And I'm not sure if the world changes much as we grow, but our perception of the world and our reaction to the world changes as we grow. Mrs. Fleming made me take this part out, but I was going to have everybody get down on the ground now, you know, like a baby, and crawl on all fours. But she didn't think that was a good idea for some reason. I thought it was a great idea. So I'll just ask you to imagine that you're on all fours and walk around. And what is your perspective when you're a baby and you're on all fours and you're just crawling? No, you have a very different perspective than you do a few months later when you are able to stand. If you know, first you crawl up on the furniture and you look around, and then you're standing and you have a different perspective of your world because you learned how to stand and you learned how to walk. Crawling versus walking gives us a new change. And I don't think the world changes much, but how we look at it changes. Or reading. You know, I can't read all the figures and stuff that you see on some of the peace flags, and there's Arabic and, you know, all, you know, Chinese and Japanese. But I distinctly remember seeing the letters that we formed to form English and being able to finally put those together and know what a word was. And wow, and how we can put words together. And when we learn to read, then we can have a different view of the world. What we learn determines how we look at life. What we learn determines how we look at life. We are continually learning. Last week, Rhoda was up. She was up from Kenai. And what an example of an individual that is constantly learning. The woman has an unstoppable motor. I mean, Rhoda is go, go, go. And she's constantly learning and growing. Another good example we have, I'll talk more about it in the business meeting, but we graduated 3 practitioners this last year. Woo-hoo! And yeah. They've finished anywhere between 4 and 5 years of study, taken at least one class a week for over 30 weeks a year. The last 2 of which are a little more rigorous academically. You know, you really have to get into it a bit. So you've taken, you know, 5 years of classes. Most people go to take a break. We signed up for visioning class. Cynthia George, you just went through all that stuff, signed up for visioning. I said, why are you taking visioning class? I said, I've never taken it. I want to learn. We're constantly growing, and what a gift it is to always grow. We are a work in progress, and I think that adults sometimes need to be reminded of that. Adults hit a place where we feel like, oh, well, you know, I've already been to that school, I've already done that, you know, I don't need to do that. I've already been to ministerial school, I don't need to read those things, I don't need to do that. And we can't help it, but we are continually learning, and we need to be reminded that we can keep going. And what an example, though, during the advertisement, the thing, notice on Camille's class. She made a great point. You are not the same person that you were a year ago. I've often looked at my Science of Mind book. In fact, I'm on my third one now. But it's underlined in yellow, and then it's highlighted in green, and it's got pencil, and it's got pen, and there's notes in the margins and everything. Pretty soon, I'm going to have the entire book filled. And it's just because I'm not the same person that I was the last time I read it. We are continually learning. We learn in many different ways. One way I've talked about are classes, and that's a great way. That's a structured way, and it's good. But the universe is going to continue to give us lessons. Whether we like it or not, we're going to get lessons. It may be the lady that cuts you off in traffic. It may be the bank that makes an error and takes money out of your account. It may be, it could be a host of different things. It could be wonderful things come into your life. But the universe is going to continue to force us into growing and learning to change. In our philosophy, we teach that life is perfect. And, you know, I get that. I mean, we teach that, you know, God is life. You know, God is perfect. Therefore, life is perfect. And on a spiritual plane, I'm sure that it is. I'm absolutely sure that there is a perfection behind all that is. But that doesn't help us in day-to-day. When we wake up in the morning and we get ready to face the day, there are addictions, there are, you know, we face lack and limitation, we face fear. Life is messy. Life is not perfect for us all of the time. But that's because we're still crawling. We're still down on all fours. If we can learn to stand, we can get a different perspective on how we do that. But if what we learn determines on how we look at life, then maybe there's a way to learn and grow that will help us to see the world differently and to see that perfection. What if you could choose what you wanted to learn versus having the universe supply the curriculum? We can do that. We can step into that. We can choose what it is we're going to do, whether it's centering prayer, whether it's, you know, drumming meditations. This center is busy basically every night of the week. Every other Friday, I think we've got a couple hours open, and that's about it. But there is something going on at this center every day and night of the week. And those are opportunities to see how we can do things differently. And that is your vision. When you decide how you can look at that and you step in to being reachable and teachable, you're creating your own vision. As a spiritual community, we came together years ago. And, well, what, 1 year ago? Just almost exactly 1 year ago. And we defined our purpose, our vision, and our mission. And that vision, we came to the awareness that we are an empowered, uplifting, inclusive community. That's the vision that we have. An empowered, uplifting, inclusive community. That's a powerful vision. Go back to Ernest Holmes. Ernest Holmes wrote, "The practice of truth is personal to each. And in the long run, no one can live our lives for us. To each is given what he needs, and the gifts of heaven come alike to all. How we shall use these gifts is all that matters. to hold one's thoughts steadfastly to the constructive, to that which endures, and to the truth may not be easy in a rapidly changing world, but to the one who makes the attempt, much is guaranteed. So what I want you to take away, the takeaway for today, is to be aware, to be reachable, to be teachable, and see how the world can change as we grow. And I'll leave you with one last Holmes quote. The time has come in our evolution when we should awaken to the recognition that behind each one stands the eternal mind, that each has complete access to it, and that each may come of it for inspiration and revelation, and that surrounding all is a divine law obeying the dictates of this eternal mind. And so it is with the awareness of the presence of that eternal mind within each and every one of us that I invite my colleagues to join me in holding our congregation in love and seeing past that appearance of dis-ease, that appearance of lack and limitation, that appearance of separation. And so now I speak my word for each person who is facing the absolute, very, very real appearance of dis-ease. We just simply know that there is an infinite intelligence in the universe, an infinite intelligence which is within every cell of our bodies, within every atom, within every cell, within every subatomic particle, and that intelligence is alive and well within even the subatomic particles, and I call forth that perfection, the perfection and the intelligence of the divine for the healing and the revealing of peace and truth to each and every individual. And I speak my word for those facing that very real appearance of lack and limitation, knowing that there's more month than there is paycheck. We simply know that we live in an abundant universe. We cannot count the number of grains of sand on the beach, and that each of us is blessed by God, that we are divinely supported and divinely cared for. And I call forth that devotion and that care. And lastly, I speak my word for those who are facing the appearance of separation. Separation from God, separation from the God within each and every one of us, the God within one another. And we just set aside all differences and know that that loving God in which we have our faith and our belief is there to support us in love. So every relationship, whether it be romantic, whether it be a family relationship, whether it be work, it makes no difference because it is God, all good. And so I just give thanks now. I give thanks for my awareness of the power and the presence of God here and now. And I release these words, the working of law that absolutely surrounds us and responds. And so it is. So.